Hello, I'm Bruce Edwards, and welcome to this podcast produced by the International Monetary Fund. In this program, lifelong champion of the natural world, Sir David Attenborough, joins Christine Lagarde for a tête-à-tête on how economic growth and the economies of nature can work together to preserve life on Earth.
Every breath of air that we take and every mouthful of food that we eat is produced by a healthy natural world. And if we damage the natural world, we damage ourselves.
Nature and economic progress have had a rocky relationship. While the world's natural resources make life and industry possible, the demands of a growing economy are putting unsustainable pressures on our climate and vital ecosystems. In his broadcasting career spanning over six decades, Sir David Attenborough has connected people to the wonders of the natural world through visually stunning documentaries like The Blue Planet and more recently Our Planet, the quintessential guide to the economy of nature. Attenborough and IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde met before a live audience during the IMF World Bank spring meetings.
Let's just assume for a second, you are in charge of global nature. And I'm in charge of the global economy. What's the connection between us?
Financial systems have a lot in common with the natural world systems. Both are economies. Both, for example, if you deal with your investment, with your capital, it's fine if you can take the profit. But you wouldn't be so silly as to eat into the capital, would you not? But that is what we are doing with the natural world all the time. And do we have them in the seas? For example, I mean, the herrings, 18th century, herrings in the North Sea were hugely rich. So what do? We actually fish them to extinction. And so then we move off to the Atlantic. The cod, wonderful on the banks of Newfoundland. Huge amount of cod which couldn't possibly be exterminated. But we did. We have to treat the natural world in the way in which you deal with economies. And the same sort of principle, which is you don't damage your capital, applies to the natural world.
So nature is our capital.
Certainly.
We can only afford to live on the profit.
Yes.
But there are many more of us that want to benefit from those profits. What more can we do? International institution like ours, whose mission is stability, particularly yeah. financial stability, and prosperity.
You can do your best to ensure that the natural systems have precisely those characteristics, that they have stability, and that you don't damage them. But at the moment, we are damaging them, and what is more, we're subsidizing the damage. In subsidizing fuel, for example, carbon-based fuel. Carbon-based fuel is the source of one of our major, major problems. And yet we are still, in many situations, subsidizing it. So we are supporting and subsidizing the very things that are damaging our planet.
Whereas if we spend quite a bit of that money on research and development, that could eventually help us identify nature-respectful technologies that provide us with welfare.
Yes.
That could be far more intelligent.
Certainly so. How can we persuade the nations of the world that that is the case?
You film.
That's kind of you to say so, but that, of course, is what we wish to do. Because the natural world is so delicate at the moment, it really needs all the protection that it can get. And sometimes that will mean that governments have to take decisions which are painful, which actually cost money effectively. But unless the people of the world realize the factors that govern the natural economies of the world, they won't support that. So therefore, understanding the natural world is of crucial importance for everybody.
Do you think that carbon pricing and taxing carbon, for instance, is also an avenue that we should pursue and that we should try to convince our membership
of? It seems to me one of the many powerful levers that you have, that you can press and persuade people to take their money and their investments out of that and to stop doing that sort of thing.
I think that there would be many finance ministers who are sitting in the room who are probably saying, yes, I would love to do that. It's just how to do it and how to encourage people to put up with the hardship that comes with it.
But it doesn't always produce hardship, does it?
It depends how it is done.
Yes. And you understand that.
Yeah. It requires political leadership and courage. It requires a lot of good communication. It requires to focus on those people who actually need the subsidies because otherwise they cannot go from home to work. But we need to be inventive and we need to be creative to find the system that will actually help those people without relying on the subsidies, because otherwise we will fail. Speaking of failure, if we did nothing, if nobody paid attention to you, to your voice, to your films, to what Netflix, World Wildlife and all your partners are doing, what is the outcome?
Well, it's collapse of natural systems. And natural systems that produce the oxygen in the air, that produces the food that we eat, and we start interfering with those and collapsing. And we difficult to know where the damage will end once it starts.
But the risk is that we too are extinct at the end of the day. If technological breakthrough do not come in to help us...
Oh, well, it's not only technological breakthrough, but it is also an understanding of the system and for people concerned to realize that there are these constraints, there are these dangers if we continue to maltreat the world as we have been doing.
So the hope that you're giving us is that we don't even need technological breakthrough if we do the right things now.
But that opportunity won't go on forever. The rate at which the climate is changing and warming, unless we act on the Paris Agreement to restrict that, we're going to be in real trouble. So the problems that we recognize have to be grappled with and faced. Otherwise, if we just go on thinking everything's going to be fine, we are going to be heading for major catastrophes, and no doubt about that.
Who has hope? Hands up. You raised your hand, so I have hope too.
And why? Because young people now understand these situations better than they have ever done in my lifetime. And young people today are saying to those of us who got hands on power, do something and we will support you. That's why I have hope.
David, thank you ever, ever so much.
Thank you very much.
Sir David Attenborough is a broadcaster and natural historian. He spoke with IMF Managing Director Christine Lagarde during the IMF World Bank spring meetings. You can watch a webcast of their conversation at imf.org.
Every breath of air that we take and every mouthful of food that we eat is produced by a healthy natural world. And if we damage the natural world, we damage ourselves.